Hey guys, hope you're doing well. What's happening? I just watched the Gillette commercial and I've been reading some articles, and so I'm just going to give you my thoughts. I've been watching this whole debate happening right now in our culture about men and women and feminism and men's rights and all this kind of stuff, and it's just getting to the level of ridiculousness that I can't really sit here and just watch. I have to partake in this discussion and just add my thoughts. I hope they can add some value to the conversation. I don't pretend to be an expert on any of these things, but I am a human being that has my own experience, and I've been looking at some of these things for a while now, and so I'm just going to add my comments for whatever they're worth. I'm a male that grew up in Canada my entire life. I've lived here, and I happen to be a white, straight male, okay? On my mom's side, I come from Dutch background. On my dad's side, I come from British and Acadian background. So I'm European through and through, born and raised in Canada, and I love who I am, and I just feel like at this point in history, there's a rather interesting campaign of propaganda that is underfoot, and I want to just break down a few of my thoughts on it, taking a look at some of the articles, what's being written. And the reason I actually came across any of this was because I was actually going and looking into philosophy, and you know, we've talked many times about how to positively lift your view of yourself, your self-esteem, and I'll you know, I go through various great thinkers from the past, and I try to pull some of the best gems that I have inspired me, and I share them with you. And in my last show, or I don't know if it was the last one or the one before that, I can't even keep track anymore, I was talking about the philosophy of Stoicism, and I was sharing the positive sides of it and many of the things that, you know, when you read Marcus Aurelius's book, Meditations, and some of the amazing things that are in there, especially for men. I mean, I think there's beautiful things in there for women as well, but I think that clearly I will agree that in our society right now, we have a crisis with men. Men are undergoing a crisis. Men are undergoing a drastic shift. And I think a lot of men today don't know how to grapple with that, don't know what happened. They're not, there's no explanation. There just seems to be this attack. There just seems to be this, you know, just putting men up as this poster of evil and patriarchy and rape culture and, you know, misogyny, and men are just trash. They need to be reprogrammed. They're too aggressive. They're too competitive. They're too stoic. And this was an article that someone sent me. I'm sure you know about it. It's pretty popular. I think this was released last year. It was by the APA, where they were talking about toxic masculinity, and they were trying to define it, and they were talking about how, you know, these concepts of stoicism and aggressiveness and competition and masculinity, these are the elements of what create toxic masculinity and what's contributing to this rapey culture that we have, and what's contributing to you know, the issues that women are having in the workplace and this equality thing, and you know, that there's all these things wrong with men, and our entire view of men needs to be completely reconstructed, and the way we educate men, young boys, has to be completely reconstructed, because men are the ones shooting up schools, men are the ones committing suicides at higher rates, men are the ones that are involved in violent crime, men are this, men are that. And there's just this constant drip feed. It's everywhere. It's in the commercials. It's in, like, freaking Gillette is now preaching the Sermon on the Mount here, of trying to just state it's basically a feminist argument and a progressive argument in an ad. And you go, well, it's funny that we've gotten to this point. Like, you guys just make razors, just keep doing that, and leave the philosophy and the social discussion to the experts, the people that are actually engaged in it, that actually care about it. I don't really feel like Gillette as a company gives a crap about it. They just want, obviously, look at their video. They're at 12.5 million views, and today is the 16th of January, 2019. The ratings aren't looking too hot, and they've steadily been, like, majority thumbs down. And, you know, you got to, right now I'm looking at it, it's about 301,000 thumbs up and 700,000 thumbs down, which is just, it's interesting, okay? And so then there's all these articles that come out to discuss the Gillette, you know, this trailer or this this ad, and all of the reactions to it, and looking at the comment feeds and go, look at all these bigoted misogynists that are just trying to defend their way of life. And you're just like, okay, let's try to add a little bit of sanity and reason here. And so, kind of compiling all of this, I had an article that is here criticizing the reaction to this video, all right? And it is, who is it? Bill Gutekunst. Bill Gutekunst wrote an article on AZ Central saying, if you're mad at Gillette's toxic masculinity ad, maybe you're the problem. It's like, okay, so right off the bat, there's no critical thought. There's no trying to hear out both sides. There's no weighing of evidence. There's no comparing data. It's just, this is the reaction. It's a reactionary piece. And I think everybody's reacting. I mean, on all sides of these debates right now, everybody's reacting because these are very, very deep issues. And I think there's a more constructive way to have this conversation. I think there's a conversation that definitely needs to be had. There's obviously problems with men. Granted, we're going to get into it. But to just lay blame en masse to a general category of the opposite sex that make up a significant portion of the human population and just cast this wide judgment on men, and then this preachy, talking down, passive aggressive, hey, we're going to critique you and make you put you in these boxes, but don't even think about reacting to that. If I'm speaking to any man out there, does that sound familiar to you? Have you ever come across a passive aggressive person? Passive aggressive? I mean, men typically are just aggressive. So they're like critiquing aggressiveness in men as if women do not, or even some men that have been highly feminized, don't act aggressively. Just because it's passive aggressive versus just outright honest aggression or anger or reactionary, whatever, is you can't just say, well, one is worse and more toxic than the other. In fact, the passive aggressive nature is a lot more subtle, highly manipulative, and still ends up causing damage in the long run. In the same way that aggressiveness or just a reactionary mode of looking at an issue, it's, you know, they both can be an issue. They can both be a problem, okay? Anything that goes to an extreme can become a problem. So how do we achieve balance in all of this? Well, let me just go through this couple points that this person made. You know, why are so men afraid of the Gillette Me Too commercial? Look, right off the bat, if you know anything about men, okay, men, they need to have some level of pride in who they are. Okay, this is just a fundamental thing. And I'm speaking from being a coach, being a mentor, being a martial arts instructor. I work with boys and girls. I work with young people, middle-aged people, older people, people from different cultures, races, demographics. I've worked with homosexual people. I haven't worked with any transgender people in martial arts. I've worked with a fairly significant, diverse amount of people in my profession. And I also talk to a lot of leading thinkers on these kind of subjects, and I do my own research, and I take this very seriously, okay? So I'm treating this with some reverence here, but at the same time, I can't help but feel a little bit like when you're going to open up an article like this to critique the, I believe, legitimate reactions from men that are just looking at this like, what is this, Gillette? Who the hell do you think you are coming down and trying to make it out as if men have this problem, we have to re-educate them and like completely re-engineer men. And we all know that this Gillette commercial is not the first drop in the pond, okay? We all know that. Clearly there's like nothing but, from Hollywood to the media to the press to the universities to the whole thing going on right now, it has gotten so out of hand that any legitimate concerns or criticisms of men are lost now, because now it's so overblown. And then any kind of reaction to that from on behalf of any man that's going to defend himself in this onslaught of just nonstop, men are bad, okay, is looked at as being like, oh, whoa, okay, like we're gonna poke you and prod you and just, you know, it's gonna build up and you're not gonna say anything for a while. Because most men actually don't want to stir the pot. We're just like, okay, whatever. It didn't bother us in the beginning. But then, you know, poke, and you keep poking a tiger that's sleeping in the grass. Eventually it's gonna roar. And then you're like, oh, why are you roaring? I was just poking you. What is this? What the hell is this? You think you're gonna get away with this? You're not. And that's clearly shown in the voting that is the thumbs up, thumbs down on YouTube. And when you look at the most opinion of men that I speak to, unless they've been totally brainwashed, a lot of them, when you get past all the defensive layers or all the posturing to say, no, I'm a good man, I don't care about it, deep down, they all care about it. And I want to just talk about that because no, men are not afraid of the Gillette commercial. Men are laughing at the Gillette commercial. It, most of the men I talk to, and me as a man, when I watched it, I was like, I almost spit up my drink. I was like, what? What is this? So we're not afraid of it. Let's just put that aside. We're not afraid of it. It's just, it's getting so ridiculous that most of us are not sitting here being offended. I'm also not offended by the commercial, by the way. The company has every right to put the commercial out. I don't want them censored. I don't want the video taken down. I would like to have a conversation about it, though. So if we could do that without jumping to conclusions every 2 seconds, that would be great. But anyways, so here we go. He's going on, blah, blah, blah. A lot of men have taken to social media to lash out at Gillette and the commercial on YouTube. And it's going through all the likes and dislikes, which are now, I mean, it's this video is just going viral. It's absolutely crazy. So then Piers Morgan, who I've disagreed with on many issues in the past, but I happen to agree with him on this one, he reacted to this. You know, they're like, Piers Morgan, the TV personality, never above digging in on an iffy position if it means attention. See, like right away, he reacts and it's just off the bat. You see how this passive aggressiveness works? Okay. This is how you do it. You don't just say, here's the fact, and then I'll give you my opinion about it. That would be totally cool. If you want to be, if you want to manipulate this, and you want to act like from a very weak position, okay, you start it off with, you know, this is a guy who's never above digging in an iffy position if it means attention. So if Piers Morgan reacts to this, like, oh, this is ridiculous. What the hell? I'm never buying Gillette razors again. This is so horrible. They're like, well, he's just doing it for attention. So you're trying to delegitimize the argument off the bat. So when you read that, when somebody reads that, that is kind of on the fence, they're like, yeah, he is just doing it for attention. So they're leading you to a conclusion. And this is obviously a logical fallacy. And you need to understand how to properly construct an argument. Because maybe you do have an argument, but I haven't heard it yet. And I'm waiting for it. And all I see is a bunch of just passive-aggressive nonsense. So you're not getting any respect from me just yet. Let's see if you can change my mind as we go down. So he's going, you know, this is the quote from Piers Morgan. He's like, I've used Gillette razors my entire adult life, but this is absurd virtue-signaling PC guff, which may drive me away to a company less eager to fuel the current pathetic global assault on masculinity. Let boys be damn boys. Let men be damn men. Okay, so this is he's just reacts like, hey, that's a male tendency. But obviously, there are females that can exhibit that as well. I'm just saying, in general, typically, the way a man reacts is upfront, no bullshit. Just let man be man. Stop bugging me and with your stupid razor blades. If I want to learn about PC culture, I'll go read some books by experts. Thank you very much. I don't need Gillette to get up on a soapbox and try to educate men. And he's also referencing something here that he's like, a company less eager to fuel the current pathetic global assault on masculinity. Because he's recognizing this has been building up for a long time and it's absolutely everywhere. It's beyond just, we need to talk to men about confronting their issues and help them with it. It's beyond that. It's just, it's gotten to a point where they're just bashing men and it's getting ridiculous. So he reacts and this guy, this Bill Gutenkutz or whatever his name is just decided to frame this in the most pathetic way possible. You know, and then it's like, let me see. He's just going through a bunch of different people that are obviously commenting about how this is disgusting. You're attacking your customers. Because that is kind of funny. Gillette, obviously, razor blades, typically that's men shaving. And here you are just blanket accusing men of all this stuff in a very passive aggressive way. So it's not direct. If you watch the commercial, it's not a direct thing. It's just, it's this, you know, you feel it. You're like, okay, all right, thanks a lot for your little sermon there. But I love who I am as a man. So then I wanted to get to the point where he's like, yeah, it's a commercial. Gillette motives aren't altruistic. Their competitors have been gaining ground around them for a long time. A little social consciousness can't hurt. Just, you know, a little social consciousness can't hurt, right? A little social consciousness. Well, I'm totally all about social consciousness, my friend. However, there's a way to do it. And there's a way to construct and to discuss these issues that are happening for human beings, okay? Not just men. This is a human problem right now in 2019, and We've got problems in our society. These are societal problems that have roots to them. They have a, there's a source to these problems. To jump to the conclusion that the source to the problems happening in our society, like the suicide rates and this alleged rape culture and all these things, you're missing the boat because you're trying to put it into a category that pits the genders against each other, you know? And that's never going to get anywhere if we keep doing this. So what he said, okay, so then the part of the article where they're going to talk down to you, simmer down is what he says. Be honest, some of the anger directed at the ad floating around on social media is so overdone, it almost seems like a parody. And so he's going on about how people are just freaking out about it. Simmer down. If calling men out on toxic behavior somehow offends you, no matter who's doing the calling, well, maybe a razor commercial isn't your biggest issue. And the last time I checked, Schick was still in business. So it's like, you know, just simmer down. If calling men out on toxic behavior offends you, you're part of the problem. It's like, well, hold on a minute. But if you're going to call men out, and by men, think about the massive size of that category that you're laying a general assumption to and how ridiculous that is. If you have a problem with this commercial, you are part of the problem. And that's the message. And so then you start to realize, well, if that's your argument, I mean, let's say you had an argument, but if that's the way you're going to construct the argument, how is someone supposed to respect that? How's any man going to respect that? I just don't get it. You know what I mean? Like, you don't say simmer down. You don't go, man, you got to stop looking at women and catcalling, and you got to stop wrestling in the playground and at the family picnics because that's not how we treat each other. And you got to stop, you know, being tough and stoic and masculine and taking action. And you got to stop doing that. And men are like, what are you talking about? And then they're like, whoa, simmer down. What's your problem, man? I'm not attacking you here. I'm not attacking you. Just relax. And if you have a problem with me saying that men are just this big generalized group of people that have this massive problem, that needs to change, and we're not going to get really specific on those definitions, we're not going to give scientific arguments, we're just going to keep rolling out all this rhetoric and propaganda, then, and you can't, we can't rebut that, we can't have a discussion, we can't have a debate about it, well, then you know what's at the bottom of this. Because if you're going to state something, you've got to be prepared for flack. I mean, right now, I'm making this video. People are going to comment. They're going to disagree with me. They're going to hate on me. They're going to make fun of my beard or my backdrop or whatever. Like, no matter what you do, you're going to have haters. You're going to have people that disagree. And you shouldn't be fighting that. That's not the fight you should be fighting. There's way more to this than just men are bad. Men have a problem. Men have been culturally conditioned to be a certain way. What if men have biologically and historically and genetically have been conditioned through evolution and through growing up being the most disposable asset in any society? I mean, if you want to talk statistics, how many men are killed in war? How many men have we lost that have been killed in war? Over how many wars? Just that alone, you go, okay, well, men are committing suicide in all these record numbers. It must be because of toxic masculinity that they're doing that. It's like, well, okay, hold on a minute. What about all the veterans coming back from these wars in the Middle East, which I personally don't agree with, but you know, they're coming back and they're killing themselves in greater numbers than are dying in combat. Okay, so there's a huge suicide rate amongst military veterans today. Why is that? Let's get to it. Is it because of toxic masculinity, or is it because they saw a lot of shit over there that just totally screwed them up and they can't live with themselves, and there's all these experimental drugs that are used on military personnel, and on and on and on we could go, okay? It's like the gun argument. It's like, well, okay, well, it seems like men act violently, so if we just have to disarm the entire population or strictly regulate it to the point where it's almost impossible to get a gun, and we're going to blame all the shootings just on the guns, and we're going to ignore the root causes that make human beings go from a peaceful, loving person that doesn't want to hurt anybody to grabbing a gun or a weapon of any kind and going out on a mass killing spree. I mean, there's more to it than just the gun itself or just... So these are all straw man arguments, in my opinion. It doesn't get to the root cause, okay? And then if you look at the article from the APA where they're criticizing stoicism and masculinity and they're you know going after male aggressiveness and competitiveness is another big one, which they're discouraging in schools completely. They don't want, and they're giving out medals to everybody. There's no such thing as winning and losing anymore. You know, they're trying to eliminate this thing because it's the argument from the movie Equilibrium. If you've never seen the movie Equilibrium, I suggest that every man walking watch that film, because what that film is about the drugging of all society, men and women, doesn't matter. Everybody takes a drug at a certain time of day or three times a day, I can't remember. And what that does is numb their natural instincts, because natural instincts of emotion and loving music and art, those all provoke emotion, or they provoke thought, or anything that's, you know, outside of the status quo is deemed as, you know, it's going to contribute to this problem we have with war. And the whole movie constructs the same argument, basically, where humans are human. They just make it look like humans are bad. So all humans are bad, and we're bad because we're prone to all these emotional, you know, climate, the climate of emotion and psychology is just worrying at this unstoppable pace, and it's so unpredictable, and that's what we have to do. So we have to go in and lobotomize the human being and scientifically re-engineer them and inject everybody with this numbing agent that is going to keep everybody in this emotionless, robotic, trance-like state so that they serve the system. And in the end, sorry, quick spoiler, the Christian Bale character meets the architect of this entire setup, and the guy admits to him that he doesn't even believe in this. It was just all a ruse to gain power. And this has happened so many times in history. I mean, all of the dictators of history have all said, from Pol Pot to Mao to Hitler to Stalin, all these people, all going back into the various empires, you know, the Neros and all these different, you know, they make an argument like this that says, well, we've got this problem, so we're going to solve the problem and, you know, just follow us and we'll fix everybody, we'll fix the world, we'll do it by force if necessary, probably going to have to kill some people, going to eliminate some people, we're going to change the orientation of a bunch of people in order to achieve this utopian vision. And I can't help but read from those ancient books and read from the many futuristic novels that used to come out in the 70s, 80s, 90s, some of the old ones, you know, and then you come up and you see through the movies, they've always been talking about this, and then to actually see this kind of thing happening and these same arguments being made, all right, you might go, oh, Dave, you're jumping to conclusions. It's like, no, just study the arguments that are being made en masse. Look at it collectively. Don't just look at just this Gillette commercial. And this is just one little aspect of this whole social re-engineering program that is underfoot. They want to reorganize gender because they need to. If you know, and when I say they, I'm talking about those people that do want control. They don't really care. They're hoping to recruit a lot of unwitting, ignorant people to their cause. But at the top of the pyramid of this, the real guys, they're not operating from a place of really caring. It's mostly just about how can we maintain control in this time? How can we eliminate variables? And men are variables. And men are also the ones that we're the strength of a society. We're that strong side. And there's a particular kind of strength. Women bring a certain kind of strength, and men bring a certain kind of strength. And historically, who fought all the wars? Who went and built all of the bridges and civilization in general? Who did all of that work? Nobody's talking about equality in jobs for plumbing and coal mining and all these different things. It's all about the CEO jobs and the high-paying jobs and all this kind of stuff, right? So there's no discussion on the other side to balance it out and go, well, okay, there's some issues with certain men that have made really bad choices, you know? And there's also certain issues with certain women that have made really bad choices. And each seem to act a little bit differently in the way that they output their aggression, okay? So to say that aggression is simply a male phenomenon is ridiculous, okay? Because clearly they're using passive aggression, another form of aggression, which is ultimately there to achieve the same thing, to manipulate something against their will, okay? Whereas a typical man would, if they want to manipulate, they're not going to sit and concoct this big conspiracy to do it. They're just going to do it, and they're just going to use force, all right? And even when you look at abuse in homes, if there's abuse from the male, it's typically physical abuse. If there's abuse from the female, there is obviously, just so you know, a ton of physical abuse that a lot of men in the home put up with because, you know, they've been trained, don't hit women, don't fight back, don't just be passive in front of women, don't even... try any kind of resistance whatsoever, just let it happen. There is that side. But typically on the female side, and this is like, I have daughters, I have a wife who talks to me about this. I know, I meet women, I study this literature, I've read female psychologists' literature. You know, women typically go the more passive-aggressive route. There's a different way that they typically carry out what you could call violence, all right? Because violence is talking about a violation of sovereignty in some way, shape, or form. So whether it's physical violence or whether it's psychological violence, it's still violence. It's still manipulation. It's still wrong. So if a man is going to say, okay, yeah, men, that's horrible that men commit acts of violence against women, or it's horrible, this concept of rape, we don't support that, or we don't support men talking down to women as if they're less than them. You know, I don't support any of that stuff. No man that I talk to does support that stuff. But when you're going to frame it in the sense that, like, well, men are the only ones with the problem and all men suffer from this thing and we have to change everybody and turn everybody into a bunch of beta male, non-competitive, just docile slobs that have no... I mean, why do you think that maybe all of this cultural conditioning over the last 20 years through the media of having representatives of men look like a bunch of, like, losers and not like, there's no positive male role models. There are very few. It's either very, very extreme alpha male to the point where that's, like, ridiculous, or it's completely docile, feminized men as the icon, as the comedy sketch, as the let's put this up and point and laugh at it. And do you ever think that men are finding in society that they don't have a place anymore? There's no function, that they're not finding fulfillment in their lives. They're just, you know, there's no gratitude given. Men are just sort of shucked aside, especially once you're married with children. It's just like, okay, you've outlived your usefulness. Go work a job, keep bringing the paycheck home, and that's the end of it. And then when you say, well, we're not saying that men are bad. Okay, this is coming from if you look at the way the feminists are constructing their arguments now. And that's to differentiate classic feminism, which was just about equal rights, and now this neo-feminism, which is just, it's another universe from classical feminism. And you go, well, we're going to label everything bad after men. So like the patriarchy and all this stuff, everything we're going to label and construct our entire argument is going to be about how men are the epitome of the most evil things that have ever happened. Men are the cause of all the demise of culture. Men are to blame for this. Men are to blame for that. But we're not trying to blame everything on men. Do you see how that works? It's like, you see it in this commercial. Just, you know, man, you got to shape up and, you know, pick up your game and stop catcalling and stop wrestling and stop being competitive and stop all this stuff. Just, you know, don't treat people like that. And, you know, and you're like, okay, well, I get that. But at the same time, what are you saying? What do you mean by that? What is that? I don't appreciate that. You know, that's not a fair assessment of the situation at all. And in fact, to say something like the philosophy of Stoicism is somehow a bad thing for men, these people don't study it. They don't know they don't study Socrates, from which this came, and Heraclitus and Marcus Aurelius and all the Greek philosophers. And they don't look at philosophy as branches of different of a tree that is, you know, different ideas that apply in different scenarios and in different ways. They don't look at it like that. They read a statement like, you know, here, let's do this. Let's do the definition of Stoicism. What is Stoicism? So let's clear this up. All right. A brief, this is from the dailystoic.com. This is from the website. Okay. So they're defining it, and you can go and look it up in the dictionary. You can go read books on Stoicism. If you're going to call me, you're saying I'm using a biased source. Fine. I'm using a biased source. This is a website discussing Stoicism. These are the experts in Stoicism, and they write articles on it, and they're explaining the synopsis, and you can go read that from any philosophical dictionary or whatever to find the definition for yourself. You can go read the books themselves and then come to your own conclusion, but it's a good description. A brief synopsis and definition on this particular school of Hellenistic philosophy, Stoicism, which was founded in Athens by Zeno of Citium in the early 3rd century BC, but was famously practiced by the likes of Seneca, Marcus Aurelius, etc. The philosophy asserts that virtue, such as wisdom, is happiness, and judgment should be based on behavior rather than words. So they're talking about the idea of action. And in the ancient mystery school tradition, in the philosophical tradition, many of the esoteric traditions, and even in religious traditions, the idea of action, the principle of action, is typically classified as a masculine trait. And masculine is not just, you know, if you get into Taoism and the understanding of how, you know, all and even Jung, you know, the idea that we have masculine and feminine archetypes within all of us, no matter what our gender is. You know, women can employ these action type principles just as much as men. It's just that there seems to be that men lean naturally more towards one side of that spectrum and women naturally lean towards the other side of that spectrum. And why would that be? Well, it has to do with survival. It has to do with the way that history unfolded and cultures and civilizations were born and created. Is that, you know, men took the role being the stronger, you know, gender physically, being the one that had the whole, it was like our psychology and everything was built to protect, to provide, to defend. We're the ones that without thinking, sacrifice our lives so that women, the women and children could stay alive so that we could continue our lineage. And you know, this is just on and on and on. We could go about, you know, the positive sides of the action principle. And obviously, you know, that can, everything can be taken to extremes. But anyways, I digress. So it says, this philosophy asserts that virtue, such as wisdom, is happiness and judgment should be based on behavior rather than words, that we don't control and cannot rely on external events, only ourselves and our responses. What's so bad about that? The fact that they're telling you, take responsibility. This is what men are not being taught. Men are being trained by victim culture types to become victims, and that's why they're depressed, because it's not in our nature to walk around like a victim. Our nature as men is to walk around victorious and to seek out purpose and meaning and to create and to, there's a destructive tendency that's there. And we need to rein that in and understand, like, you know, like when I talk about martial arts, I'm teaching people how to defend themselves using all different levels and degrees of force if necessary, you know, from just a little bit of force to a lot of force to maybe even deadly force. If you have to defend yourselves and your loved ones or even your country, that can be a valuable asset to have. Now, if you teach people these techniques and these moves and they go out and they abuse them and they use them to beat up on women or children or other men or victimize anybody to satiate their silly ego needs or whatever, well, that's a different story. But to say that Stoicism is encouraging that is just dumb. It's just, it comes from people that don't read any books. They just read articles and they make, you know, knee-jerk reactionary opinions about them. But, you know, here we go. Stoicism has just a few central teachings. It sets out to remind us of how unpredictable the world can be, how brief our moment of life is, how to be steadfast and strong and in control of yourself. The whole, this is the guide to how to have self-control over those otherwise just animalistic behaviors and actions. This is the education. They saw a need for this back in those times. And can you even imagine? Can you even imagine what it was like to live before electricity, let alone living all that time ago in ancient Greece, you know, where you're constantly warding off enemies and you're being invaded and there's all this stuff going on, right? And you're trying to create philosophy and art and culture and you got to fight off barbarian hordes every 2 seconds. Like, I don't even think we can understand what it was like to live in those times. So when you study these things, you got to think of them in context and then look at the success of, say, Greek culture and Western culture and Roman culture and civilization and go, oh, okay, well, these were elements in Western philosophy and Western thinking that allowed us to not only survive, but to move forward so that we could continue this process and this experiment. And so they're valuable. So you don't just go and say, well, I'll throw the book out because I read something somewhere that Stoicism is influencing men to be aggressive and competitive and not repress their feelings and all this stuff. And we need men to just open up with their feelings. And the more men talk about their feelings, the less they're going to shoot up schools. And the more we feminize them, and the more we put all these different products like best female A or however you say it, and all this stuff in the plastics and all this stuff in the food and all this contamination in the air and the soil and the beer and all this kind of stuff. And you just keep jamming that in and you see the estrogen levels go up in men and you see the sperm count dropping shockingly in the last 20 years in men to like a 55% rate in Western males, sperm counts dropping. What does that mean? Testosterone levels are dropping. Estrogen levels are rising. The feminization of men on a biological level. Okay? Does this have anything to do, this might be controversial, but does this have anything to do with this identity crisis everybody's going through? Could what we're injecting in our babies' bodies and putting in our food and water and everything we're doing, and plus add on top of that all the cultural conditioning and all the stuff that goes into it, could any of that maybe be the source for some of the violence and some of the disassociation and some of the psychosis and some of the suicide rates and some of the depression rates and all these things that we're trying to say, no, it's just because men are being men. That's what we have to do. So if we turn them all into women, then everything will be fine. It's like, well, no, what about the problems with women? We can't just turn men into women and women into men. It's way more complex than that. So, sorry, I'm getting off on a tangent because this is really lighting me up right now. But, you know, Stoicism has just a few central teachings. It sets out to remind us how unpredictable the world can be, how brief our moment of life is, how to be steadfast and strong and in control of yourself, and finally, that the source of our dissatisfaction lies in our impulsive dependency on our reflexive senses rather than logic. So it's encouraging the masculine side of the brain in human beings, which is logic and reason. Okay. Now, logic and reason has its limits as well. We're not saying kill all emotion. And like, do you see how it can go to the other extreme? We're not saying that. We're not saying men shouldn't be emotional at all. But if you go too far down that road, you're messing with forces that are ancient, that are you know, millions of years of evolution and all that stuff, right? If you go with that theory. But the idea is that it encourages us to use logic and reason in combination with our intuition to become a holistic thinker. Because when you look at problems holistically, you can be guided towards a desirable end. When you start compartmentalizing things and leaning towards extremes and going into fatalism and narcissism and all these things, then you're going to miss the boat and you're going to screw things up. You're going to screw up your own life. You're going to screw up other people's lives. So what this was the idea that, okay, in this chaotic world in which we live, of nature trying to kill us at every turn, and human beings just naturally being tribal and fighting and killing each other, and all of this stuff. In that kind of world, we need to have a philosophy that keeps us strong and keeps men strong. And the reason they need men to be strong, guys, let's be honest, is because they need to become disposable assets for society. That's what it is. They need men to become disposable in war, in the workforce, and all these different places, and do all the things that are associated with the action principle. So, you know, you got to look at it from that angle as well. And so it just says Stoicism had three principal leaders. You had Marcus Aurelius, who was the emperor of Rome, most powerful man on earth at one time. He wrote down notes about restraint, compassion, and humility. So there's an element of compassion and humility that's also woven deeply into Stoicism. But they're not going to talk about that, because that doesn't suit their argument. They're just like, oh, it's just all about competitiveness and men being aggressive and blah, blah, blah. It's bullshit. So, you know, Stoicism has been practiced by kings, presidents, artists, writers, and entrepreneurs. Both historical and modern men illustrate Stoicism as a way of life. Okay? And, you know, you just gotta look into it more. And when I was talking about this, I was trying to inspire something in, I don't care, men, women, anybody, that you need to understand that if you're looking for the truth, because that's the whole point of this show, is like, what's the truth? How do we find it? Why is it relevant? You need to be able to understand that the truth is easy to demonstrate to yourself when you align the processes of your thinking and you turn it into actions. And then the actions speak back to you as a mirror to say whether or not those are appropriate or not, those appropriate actions or not. So there's a lot that go into it. And so when I see these articles just sort of passing on the facts, I say, okay, well, why are they doing that? Are they just ignorant? Are they dumb? Did they skip a few pages at once? Did they miss something? And then I go, well, no, it's just continually happening. And, you know, then you go onto Twitter and you just see that it's encouraged. It's okay. The accounts that are out there bashing men they're up, they're running. But anybody resisting it and saying, hey, hold on a second, they're the ones that are getting shut down. Why would that be? You even have organizations like the UN that have something called UN Women, which is it's defining all the tenets of modern day feminism. And they're trying to push this globally. And they're trying to influence government policies in various countries to move towards this agenda. And you go, well, they're just trying to talk about being equal to men. And you go, well, okay, this is a huge argument we have to dissect, because nobody's saying women are less human than men, but I do feel in a way that they're saying men are less than women. Like, there's this replacement happening, and that's not healthy. That's not good when it's extremes. That's what I'm critiquing here. I'm not critiquing the idea that women should have equal rights and women have equal value and, oh, we should have social, political equality, blah, 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 blah. We're not debating that, okay? We could debate as to whether or not that's even a problem now. We could definitely debate that. We could look at the numbers and really compare some notes and, come up with an interesting result. But, you know, we're not debating that. But they're using that sales pitch speech because it appeals to the, you know, the reptilian brain complex in people, the reactionary brain. And then when you get underneath and you really go through and dissect what they're advocating for, they're not advocating for equality of any kind. That's not what modern day feminism is doing. That's not what these progressives are doing. That's not what we're seeing happen in this social political discussion right now, is any push for equality. That's not what it is. It's if you really put all the facts together about what's happening with men, it's looking for the erasing of what men identify as being male and redefinition of that. It's all about redefining and trying to re-educate men. And like, men have been bad, so we're going to put you in detention. And it's just, it's getting absolutely ridiculous. And you know who's spearheading this more than any woman and any feminist? Is these other men that are just these white knighting, virtue signaling men that are not real men, in my opinion. You know, they're not acting in the capacity of real men. And I'm not saying every man has to be some alpha male, but every man should be connected to what it is to be a man. Every woman should be connected to be what it is to be a woman. And then what happens is, when you have a holistic woman, a healthy, holistic, virtuous woman with a healthy, holistic, virtuous man, and they come together, well, that's where you get the yin-yang. That's where you get the balance of the forces. Anytime you disrupt that flow and try to go into extremes, you screw up the whole thing. And then that leads us to the question of, well, is this something that is happening just because of ignorance or because of emotional reactions on part of people? Or is there an overall agenda here to not just attack men, but to attack women as well? You know, let's look at that. You think about that, like, that by attacking men and trying to convert men into women and trying to not attack, you know, you convert women into men, male roles and all this kind of stuff. A, you're destroying the family unit, which is a huge goal that has been around since Karl Marx's manifesto, right? But you're also destroying women in the process of destroying men. And we see it. We see this happening, and then we see the depression rates increasing in women. And we see more and more women depressed more than ever before. So we don't talk about that. We just go, well, men are depressed, men are committing suicide, men are doing this, men are doing that. And the truth is that men act out their inner frustration and their inner turmoil in a more physical way. And women act it out in a more psychological way. And it's just, it doesn't mean that it's more than or lesser than. I think it's equal. I think in that sense, we're equal. We're equally fucked up. Men are fucked up. Women are fucked up. The whole society's fucked up. Clearly, something's missing. And when you're just trying to lay blame on one group and you get into this whole identity politics thing, that becomes a slippery slope. So I just encourage you, when you hear these, when you read these articles and you look at these statistics, and there's actually a lot of really good videos out there right now that are analyzing all of the data and the facts that these groups are trying to put forward to justify this man-bashing culture, I would go and start looking at both sides of this argument and really trying to see that it's not about men winning the fight or women winning the fight. It's about humans getting sense of sanity back again and really coming to a place of balance within each and every one of us as individuals have to come into a sense of balance again, instead of just laying the blame on all men or all this race or this religion or this person or that. Like, forget the finger pointing, focus on yourself. You got enough work to do with that. Most people I talk to and work with, and even when I think about my own life, can't handle that. They can't even handle what it is to just be a person on their own dealing with their own things. This is why we project on everybody else. All of our internal problems, we project on everybody else. And we start laying blame on all these groups and these stereotypes as being the reason why I'm repressed and why I'm restricted in life. And it's all because of them. And, you know, even though there might be legitimate claims to make, that other people are a part of, you know, I don't know, ruining your life or screwing up your life. At the end of the day, one of the greatest things I took from a philosophy like Stoicism was that, no, stop complaining about it and do something about it. That's what that means. It's not Stoicism is encouraging men to repress their emotions. It's not at all. It's actually connecting them to their emotions by saying, stop sitting around talking about your emotions all the time and go be responsible. Go act in the world. Go and be a man. That will cure you of all of your emotional problems. If you just sit there and, you know, you're sitting on the couch all the time, just whining and crying and pouring your feelings out, yeah, maybe it makes you feel better in the short term, but in the long term, it's just going to build up again, and then you're going to have another emotional outburst. That's not helping men. What you need to do, what men need, and I'm talking to you as a man, if I sit around thinking about shit too much and I overthink my problems and I let the stress get to me and then my emotional center gets all out of whack, all I have to do, guys, is go play a piano or go to the gym or go do some training or go start working on some of the projects that I work on or make a video or just take action. And all of a sudden, I start to feel better. By the taking of action, I feel better. So that's all Stoicism is trying to say, is don't just sit there and whine about your problems. That's going to keep you weak. And being weak doesn't serve you. You need to be strong in this life. Enough with trying to feminize, hyper-feminize men and women to the level where it's like, we're not taking any action anymore. We're just talking and bitching and moaning about our problems all the time. That's not effective in building a society that we want to live in and that we want to raise our children in. So in this sense, I feel like the real solution here, the real solution to the problem with men is to bring back masculinity again, not eradicate it and turn them into a bunch of slouching, fat, lazy, dumb, sarcastic, fucking, I don't know, something other than what I feel would be a heroic character, a heroic masculine character for men. And then don't just show all the heroes as these like overly over the top, hyper masculine steroid freaks that are degrading women. Yeah, there's those negative symbols in our society that, degrading people and just like abuse without any apology and all that. That's, most men don't follow that. That's not what most men do. And most women don't appreciate men like that. I think women actually, they're not into, there's this whole thing about, well, men like, women prefer assholes. Okay, sure. But actually women just prefer confidence, and they're looking deep down biologically, they're looking for a partner that can, you know, be strong for them. Because if a woman is gifted with the ability to give life and give birth, you know, you're vulnerable for 9 months. You're vulnerable for what? The first, I mean, think about a pregnancy and everything that goes into it. You're vulnerable for a long time. So clearly it makes sense evolutionarily, historically, that women would have employed men to be providers and protectors for them during that very vulnerable period. So to just say, well, now to say, pull the rug out from under them and go, wow, we wanted you to be tough before. We wanted to send you off to all the wars before to die. We wanted you to do all the hard work jobs that we don't want to do. We wanted you to be there to be providers and protectors. But now we're going to name everything bad after you. And now you're the scum of the earth because you're being that. And deep down, women are not attracted to men that don't know how to assert themselves and don't know how to construct, articulate what they want. And they're sitting there. Women, there's a reason, like, women don't want to be in a relationship with another woman. They want to be in a relationship with a man. So if you turn all the men into women, women are not going to want to be with men. Men are not going to be happy being with women. And boom, you have the perfect situation to keep everybody in line. That's the bottom line, guys. One leash for many necks. All the people, docile, watch the movie Equilibrium, read some history, read some of the quotes from some of the top thinkers right now and some of the top globalists and people that have all the money, power, wealth, and influence. Read what they're talking about. Read what they wanted for 100 years or more. And then come back to me and tell me that this isn't some kind of a ruse to divide the genders and divide us in every way possible and employ the old maxim, divide and conquer. That's what this is about. And not just dividing people against people, but to divide you as a person from within yourself, to keep you divided within. And even thinking about these things like all the climate change, like, what about the climate change in your own psychology, in your own being? What about that? What's happening there in that climate? It's changing. Somebody's changing it. Somebody is socially engineering this. Somebody wants these messages to keep coming out from every possible place. And they're going to use this white knighting, oh, we just want equality. We just want less violence. We just want less suicide. We just want less war. We're not trying to offend anybody. Meanwhile, we're going to go and offend everybody and piss everybody off and stir the pot and then come back and say, oh, we're not trying to do that. This is Trojan Horse 101. This is how you control a society 101. This is social engineering at its finest. And we have to be aware of that also, that there's that factor to be considered, that men are being changed against our will, slowly, subtly, and women are also being changed against their nature. We're being changed against our nature. And the minute these social engineers and these utopians come in and try to change humans against their nature, this has never gone well, guys. Even though we have to realize that humans are flawed, we're not perfect. There are men out there that are good. There are men out there that are bad. Women out there that are good. Women out there that are bad. However you want to define those terms, we have to understand that this is way bigger than just some Gillette commercial or some article or some this or some that. When you put it all together, you realize that there is an attack on people. There's an attack on Western civilization happening. There's an attack on the principles of freedom happening. There's an attack on anything that is naturally associated with what it is to be a human being. They're trying to reorientate that, give you all different shades of gray, and make everything morally relative and destroy it from within. That's what's happening. Our culture, our civilization, everything that our ancestors and 99.7% men went out and died for is being destroyed. And now we're being told to just sit down and take it. Well, I'm not going to take it. I think this is bullshit. And I hopefully have given you enough to think about to go and investigate it a little bit further than just reading some Twitter, reading some headline, watching a 1-minute video. Go and dig deep behind this and let me know what you think.